yet another bailout.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Citigroup dug itself an enormous hole. I mean, a Grand Canyon-sized hole of toxic assets. And Citigroup is probably the poster child for too big to fail. So the government is going to pull Citi right out of that hole. The Treasury, the Fed, and the FDIC, they have a bailout plan. Here it is. Invest another $20 billion in Citigroup, force the bank to help struggling homeowners, and here's the big one. The Treasury will assume the risk for $300 billion in toxic assets. We're joined by Jane DiRista from the Financial Markets Center. Jane, what do you think of this plan?
Well, I'm not happy with the $300 billion guarantee. I'm not happy with the plan. I think it does indicate how lax they were in oversight at the Fed to have, after all, proposed that Citibank buy Wachovia not so long ago. I think that taking the guarantee is an enormous amount of money.
With this $300 billion, how likely is it, based on what you know, that the government will have to eventually buy these assets?
Definitely. That's the point. They're going to have to buy them if they give a guarantee.
All of them? All $300 billion?
Well, who knows? I mean, I just don't believe that this is the path for Citibank to get back on its feet.
Then what is the way Citigroup gets back on its feet?
It gets back on its feet only if the Fed is willing to buy some portion of its and other banks and other important institutions' toxic assets and give them in exchange a reserve account at the Fed that will be on the liability side of their balance sheet and act as a substitute for capital. Capital is not there. And we are looking at a meltdown in the capital of the financial system.
And the Treasury can't do that?
No, the Treasury cannot do that.
What happens if we don't do anything here and Citigroup fails?
It would be an enormous displacement in the financial sector. It is a domino situation, and they know it.
Jane DiRista, Director of Programs for the Financial Markets Center, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
President Bush will comment on the Citigroup bailout shortly. The stock markets like it. So far, the Dow is up 94 points to 8141. The NASDAQ has climbed 18, and the S&P 500 is up 12. European shares are 5 to 6% higher, much higher gains in Europe. In Asia, the markets closed 2% lower. Today, Barack Obama introduces his economic cast, starring New York Fed President Tim Geithner as Treasury Secretary, former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers as head of the National Economic Council, and New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson as Commerce Secretary. More now from Steve Henn in Washington.
Wall Street likes Geithner. He's well known there. This weekend, he was deeply involved in crafting the Citigroup deal. Actually, he's had a hand in managing almost every major financial crisis for the past 15 years. When the news of Geithner's appointment leaked late Friday, the markets rallied. Before that, there was an enormous fear the government's response to the financial crisis was frozen in place by the presidential transition. But over the weekend, President-elect Obama previewed a plan to preserve millions of jobs by investing in roads, schools, and green technology. Some believe it could cost up to $700 billion. Right now, though, the big question facing Obama's economic team is whether to make any moves to try to push the current bailout forward. If they do, they'll need Treasury Secretary Paulson's cooperation, and they'd need Congress to free up the last chunk of bailout cash. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Monday, November 24th on Marketplace.org. The economy has lost plenty of full-time jobs lately, with layoffs in just about every industry. But part-time jobs are actually on the rise. The two might have something to do with each other. Here's John Dimsdale.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics says 6.1 million Americans are stuck in part-time jobs, even though they would prefer full-time work. That's a 30% increase from a year earlier. Former Labor Department economist Harry Holzer says underemployed people mask the real rate of joblessness.
This is one of the categories that we often call the hidden unemployed. That really means that the official numbers aren't telling you how bad things are getting.
Holzer says official unemployment numbers also don't count those who've given up looking for work. But Michael Irwin, a career advisor for CareerBuilder.com, says part-time work is at least a foot in the door.
When the economy swings the other way, you're really going to take a look at employees who did everything they could after they were laid off or after they were let go. So I think it's an important time to make sure that you're still putting something on your resume.
Economist Holzer says underemployed workers are a wasted economic resource. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Florida has lost more jobs than any other state from the financial crisis fallout. Florida's unemployment rate is now 7%. But surprisingly, Florida's tourism industry is one place where there are jobs. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports from WLRN in Miami.
Florida's tourism industry actually gained 1,300 jobs in the past year. Hotel openings like the Ganzevoort South Beach and the refurbished Fontainebleau helped account for that growth. Rolando Aiedo is with the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. He says tight travel budgets can work in Florida's favor.
Tourists will still want to have a tropical cosmopolitan experience, and fortunately Miami is well positioned to deliver on that.
Cruise lines are another attraction for budget travelers. Florida-based Carnival Cruise Lines is expanding its offerings at the Miami and Jacksonville ports. Carnival spokeswoman Jennifer De La Cruz says in these tough times, cruise lines can also do the traveling.
We spread our ships all around the country to reach the regional population bases in those areas that can drive to us, which makes the total vacation cost a very good deal for people.
Cruises start for as little as $50 per person per day, including food and entertainment. In Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Here's something else that's changed with the economic downturn. People are using a lot less electricity. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
Utilities worry that the recent drop in electricity use appears to be far deeper than any previous dips related to the economy. That means Americans may finally be heeding the calls to conserve. And that has many utilities wondering if today's costly investments to boost supply will pay off, even if the economy recovers. Nathaniel Green with the Natural Resources Defense Council says yes, as long as those investments are for renewable energy.
A coal plant is big and expensive. It takes a long time to build, and then it's a big block of power that you got to sell. Renewables are smaller, they're scalable, and they're much cheaper to roll out quickly.
Green says the economic downturn could be a boon for renewable energy projects, but it could also boost conservation efforts. Under existing laws, the more electricity utilities sell, the more they profit. But with sales and profits dropping, regulators in more than a dozen states are considering measures to pay utilities for energy saved rather than sold. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Now for something a little more fun. Christie's is holding an auction today of punk rock memorabilia. Apparently, this is one way to take a little of the stuffiness out of the auction houses. From New York, Diantha Parker has the story.
Christie's punk sale is aimed at a younger collector, says curator Simeon Littman, a collector who's excited by a rare, hand-drawn flyer for a groundbreaking 1976 concert in London.
And it's the Sex Pistols, the Clash, and the Buzzcocks, which are, you know, like Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and Joe DiMaggio of the punk movement. We have this piece estimated at $3,000
to $4,000. But many of the pieces are priced much lower, in the $300 to $800 range. Much of this is ephemera that's never been sold before. It's been saved by musicians, fans, and friends for almost 30 years. 30 is a magic number, in a way. It's an age at which things often become collectible, and when people start to have a little extra money. They're the new blood Christie's needs. It wants to expand its offerings and its clientele. Marion Maniker is the editor of Art Market Monitor.
One of the things the auction house has been very good at is about educating people to bring them into collecting categories.
Both Christie's and Sotheby's have been reaching out to younger buyers with hipper auctions centered on fashion and design. They promote these sales with lectures, book signings, and cocktail parties. Ed Kaczynski is a collector and a dealer. He's going to the Christie's sale himself and showed the catalog to a few newbies. He says one saw a Clash poster.
And right away he started thinking about when he saw the Clash at the Ritz in New York City, and that's the whole thing about collecting it. You know, it triggers a passion and a connection. And, you know, the more people get exposed to this, the more collectors there's going to be.
That's what Christie's hopes, anyway. In New York, I'm Diantha Parker for Marketplace. London calling to the underworld. Come out of the
cupboard, you boys and girls. And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Today, Mr. Sloan gives out his Turkeys of the Year awards. And boy, there have been a lot of turkeys this year. Topping the list is the government letting Lehman Brothers fail. Alan, why is that the biggest turkey?
Because letting Lehman fail set off a whole batch of problems that nobody, I have to say, including me, anticipated. It messed up the markets. It led to a money market fund breaking the buck. It started runs of hedge funds moving their money. And it set off this horrible mess that is still continuing. That's why I have given it not only the Turkey of the Year award, but very likely the Turkey of the Decade, since there are only 2 years left in the decade.
All right. So another one on your list is this very recent Treasury flip-flop and the fact that the Troubled Asset Relief Program is no longer about troubled assets.
The Treasury yelled and Fed yelled and screamed and said, we have to do this or Western civilization is at stake. Then they start to do it, and then they say, never mind. So that sort of undermines faith in the people running the system, and that's a very bad thing. And we're seeing fallout from that now because when Hank Paulson, who I think is a reasonably formidable guy, the Treasury Secretary, he gets up. No one seems to pay any attention anymore. And Ben Bernanke at the Fed, people worshiped at the feet of Alan Greenspan. I'm not sure why, but Bernanke says stuff and it's ignored.
But bottom line, Alan, do you think switching course was actually the right decision?
Yes. The problem there was they should have thought things out before they announced their plan. It's clear they didn't.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, happy Thanksgiving.
And may the turkeys in your portfolio be smaller next year.
If you have your own turkeys to nominate, by all means, share them with us online at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.